If you find your Bible and turn to the book of Romans chapter 13, we'll be there in just a little bit. I want to share several thoughts that I actually posted a few days ago as we introduce ourselves to this chapter in Romans. Romans chapter 13, we'll read in that in a little while. Before we do anything else, let's pray and ask God for wisdom and His strength at this time. Father, thank you so much for the really the privilege to open your word tonight. I pray that you might make it real in our lives. Help us understand the direction you would have us to go from day to day. Give us wisdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I entitled the article I wrote the other day, posted it on Facebook. I entitled it, "Who Do They Think They Are?" I don't know if you read that or not, but here are a few of the things that I said in that article. We have lived for over 200 years in freedom with basic rights outlined in our Constitution. The First Amendment says this, and I quote, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances." Interesting read. It'd do you well to look that up. You can find it online. Just go to Google and put in their First Amendment and study what that says. In the Constitution, we find that there are three separate branches of government. And they have been so designed to keep a check and balance that one not take too much upon them. For instance, there's the legislative branch, which is our senators and House of Representatives, and they are basically there to make the laws for our land. They are those who represent us and are there to really to substitute in the halls of Congress for us. And sometimes they think that they are in charge, but actually, we're in charge. They work for us. We need to remember that. They need to remember that. There's the executive branch, and it is basically to make sure that the laws that are written are kept. And within this branch are a number of departments to help in that. For instance, the Department of Justice, that is to watch carefully that Congress is dutiful in its obligations and their laws are carried out. There's also the judicial branch, and they are to determine if the laws are made are constitutional, whether it be from the whether it be constitutional from the Senate and the House, or even for the citizens who are under its rights. However, for many years we have seen the judicial legislature, we've seen Congress try to execute, and we've seen the president proclaim executive orders that dictate the way we live. And so we find a usurpation of the basic idea in all of these areas. Now, because of a medical crisis, these branches have stepped, I believe, way beyond their parameters. And they have made proclamations that we would expect in a rogue country like China or North Korea with their dictator. We have a Nazi-style movement detainment process going on now, and there are people being arrested for going to church but not to Walmart. Isn't that interesting? Is not the church as essential to the spiritual and emotional well-being as food is for the stomach? Our First Amendment right has been effectively stripped in the name of common good. When no one, listen to this, no one can tell us definitely what will work. We've heard them change their minds over and over on some things. One day we wear masks, the next day we don't wear a mask. And you know, it's interesting to me. You're not supposed to have more than six people in a room, but when I see the press conference, there's a whole bunch of reporters there. And so I just find a lot of inconsistencies. In some places, the Second Amendment right is being infringed upon with some law enforcement people being willing to make all this a communist-style dictatorship work. And I don't say that with freely in the fact that I think it's wonderful, but I'm just completely the opposite. I want to ask the question, why is the church not considered to be essential to the well-being of our citizenry? Why in the world can golf courses stay open, but we're to close church services? Really, why can we have press conferences that don't meet the criteria outlined by medical practitioners? Why can't we hear of thousands of babies? Why do we hear about thousands being murdered in the womb by the same people who want to shut down the country for a vastly smaller amount of people? Really? And of course, the common argument I find amongst Christians is that we need to look at what Romans 13 says. And I will agree with you tonight. We need to look at what Romans 13 says. And I want to share with you some aspects you may have never thought of previously. And so I'd like for us to read here. We're going to read the first seven verses. And notice what it says. Let every soul... Now first I'll ask you a question. How many is that? Every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. And he goes on, says, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, standing continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now I want to first of all ask you a question. In verse number 1 it says, let every soul, and I heard it repeated here, I imagine if you're home you heard the same thing, every soul means everyone. That includes every citizen of the United States of America. May also include in that those who are not citizens of the United States of America. They decide to come here, they need to come under our laws. That's another question, another message for another day. But I ask the question, what are the higher powers? What are the higher powers? For years and years, I thought to myself, well, it must be talking about those who govern the land. But I want to think about something for a moment. The very highest power that we are to subject ourselves to is the Word of God. Amen? If you're saved today, you know the Word of God has power. It has power to bring you out of the pit of hell into the arms of Jesus in heaven. It is of God and ordained by God. But we find something else that's true, and that is there is a contract in our government, if you so please, between the governor, whether it be called president or mayor or governor, there is a contract between they and the governed, and in our country, we call it the Constitution. Those three different powers I spoke of earlier are under the Constitution of the United States. That's the higher power. And we need to stop and recognize that. In a time when government oppression was very real, God used the Apostle Paul to write these words that teach what every soul is to do. And so what we find, every minister of God swears to uphold the dictates of the Word of God. If you're a child of God today, that is your responsibility in his hours. But at the same time, we find from this verse right here that Paul's only addressing the citizen, he's addressing really those who are in positions of so-called authority. Every duly elected government official, whether a president, a governor, a mayor, law enforcement, including the military, take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. Thus, there is a compact between the government or the governor and the governed. And that document is the rule. That is the higher power. And so if a said governor rules according to his higher power, we have nothing to rebel against. By the way, even if he's not the greatest of persons, he might not have some things in his life that you would consider just perfect, but if he's following the rule of the law of the land, then he's a good ruler or one who's in the right position. Let's stop and think about what's the place in the Word of God. There was a period when the disciples began to preach the gospel that the authorities grabbed Peter and several disciples, and they told Peter something. And they told Peter that he couldn't preach in the name of Jesus. What did they do? They violated the law of God. Matter of fact, they actually violated the law of Rome. And we find the answer that Peter gives in chapter 5 and 29 of the book of Acts. And it says, we ought to obey God rather than men. And anytime somebody attempts to change the Constitution, there is legal ground to oppose his civil authority. You know what took place in Michigan today? The order went out from the governor that everybody was to stay home. And the Michiganers, had had it. And they came from many cities around, some in big lines of cars, and they drove into Lansing, Michigan, and literally shut down the streets. They were parked 3 and 4 wide. They might protest. By the way, did they not have that right to do so under the Constitution? Exactly, they did. By the way, this is essentially what took place with the Patriots. King George III, he brought several taxes to the American colonies that he didn't have in other places. And the one that really broke their back was the taxation on tea. And the people complained that there was taxation without representation. And they were not going to listen to it. And thus we had the Boston Tea Party. What did he do? He came upon those citizens with force. And they rebelled. At the writing of my message today, there have been declarations made by state governors and city mayors that are contrary to the Constitution of the United States. And to my knowledge, contrary to the Constitution of their states. In many places, this isn't about a request to give up certain rights for a time, but an order to do so. I believe there's a big difference. Listen to what happened in Mendocino County of Northern California. They issued a health order on April the 10th. They said there's going to be 4 people present to live stream a service. They said, you cannot use any instrument that you blow through. You cannot use a wind instrument as it would spread droplets into the air. So I guess what that means is I can speak and droplets are going to come out. They're going to go onto the camera. They're going to go through the Wi-Fi and they're somehow going to get on you in your home. How ridiculous. It's an attempt by officials to change our Constitution. Remember what the First Amendment said? Let me reread that. I got to pull up my notes here because I don't have it memorized. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. Oh, what would happen if that took place? Or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. What that means is the people of Michigan have every right to drive to Lansing and protest what was taking place. These attempts to take away our constitutional rights need to be resisted, and they are. Kentucky should not have a hotline for neighbors to report neighbors when they've done something they think is not quite right for the health officials. And of course, you've heard the father and the daughter who were playing catch in the park, and the police stopped them and arrested the man, put him in handcuffs. No doubt you've heard of license plate numbers being taken down in church parking lots that shouldn't be taken down. I assume for the purpose to come after those people at some point. Why is it that many businesses are giving letters of essentiality to its workers? Several of our folks have received those letters. I thought about writing one for the people of Open Door Baptist Church because you're essential. My question is, why are they getting these letters? Are they about to make people show papers every time they go somewhere? Is this becoming Nazi Germany? Why is there advocacy for a medical health card for our protection, but for some reason we don't have to have an ID to vote? There's some things that are all messed up. What we need to understand is governors and the governed are under the higher powers. What are they? The Word of God and the Constitution. What's the real purpose of government? Verse number 3 says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil." Governments be a terror to evil works, not good. Matter of fact, in verses 8, 9, and 10 of the chapter, it really kind of lays out what he's speaking of. And he says, "Oh man, no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this," now that was the positive side, here's the things they shouldn't do: "Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." What's it there for? To make sure those who want to be good can practice their goodness, and to stop those who would do evil. I find also in verse number 4 that they are to execute judgment. It says, "He beareth not the sword in vain." And so the man who is upholding the Constitution goes after that which is evil and brings judgment upon it. Verse number 6, it talks about, "For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers." We're to pay taxes for that purpose. Boy, has that gotten turned upside down. I say to you tonight, thank God there's a pushback in these places, and there are lawsuits all over our country that have been made against these Gestapo-style tacticians. I say, may it not come to armed conflict. Those in authority need to remember their authority that they are to submit to as well. What's the answer to all this? Live under the Bible, live under the Constitution. That's for the governors as well as the governed. And leave our rights alone. You say, well, they're just trying to protect us. Is it protecting you that you can't make a paycheck for a month or two? Seriously. I was just told tonight in Uganda, women cannot drive. Those who are pregnant oftentimes cannot find a ride to the hospital when they're about to have a baby, and they try to walk to the hospital. Some of them lose their babies, and some of them lose their own life. Is that what we want to try to do? Every soul is to be subject to the higher powers. There's no power but of God. And He's anointed the Word of God. And by the way, when you go to the Word of God, you begin to realize He places certain responsibility on people who are in government positions. He has qualifications for judges. There are certain things that He expected for kings. And we need to follow His rule. And thank God that we've had, because of that, a people who came up with a constitution like we have. And we have something that is higher authority. It's not Congress. It's not the Supreme Court. It's not the president. It's the Constitution. On top of that's the Word of God. God's Word. Amen? Amen. I feel better. I'm going to have a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask Chad to come. I think he's going to lead us in prayer for our missionaries, kind of in a general way tonight. Some of them are in some very difficult situations because of all this. Our Father, thank You tonight for Your Word. Thank You for the privilege to exalt it in our lives. Thank You that we have something to guide us and to govern us. Thank You for this higher power. Thank You that You gave in this country a constitution that is very similar to the Word of God. I pray, O God, that our peoples might recognize that. I pray, O God, for those who are elected officials, they might understand that they are elected to be our representatives, not our gods. Work and bless in these hours. Give to those folks Your wisdom. Give to us Your wisdom and guidance. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.